counterclockwise, facing the constellations, with Sumeru on its left. It also moves clockwise and appears to have mountains on its right because it is influenced by the Dakshina Varta wind. People living in countries at points diametrically opposite to where the sun is first seen rising will see the sun setting. And if a straight line were drawn from a point where the sun is at midday, the people in countries at opposite end of the line would be experiencing midnight. Similarly, if people residing where the sun is setting were to go to countries diametrically opposite, they would not see the sun in the same condition. When the sun travels from Devadani, the residence of Indra, to Samyamani, the residence of Yamaraj, it travels 23,775,000 yojanas, 190,200,000 miles, in 15 gatikas, 6 hours. Purport. Oh, I see. So it includes 11, you said? Okay, because 10 has a purport, but I guess, okay. The distance indicated by the word sadhikani is pancha vinshati sahasradhikani, or 25,000 yojanas. That plus 2.5 crores and 12.5 a laksha of yojanas is the distance the sun travels between each two cities. This comes to 23,775,000 yojanas, or 190,200,000 miles. The total orbit of the sun is 4 times that distance, or 95,100,000 yojanas. 760,800,000 miles. From the residence of Yamaraj, the sun travels to Nilochani, the residence of Varuna. From there to Vivavari, the residence of the moon god. And from there again to the residence of Indra. In a similar way, the moon, along with the other stars and planets, become visible in the celestial sphere and then sets again and then sets and again becomes invisible. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 10.21, Krishna says, Nakshatranam aham shashi. Of stars, I am the moon. This indicates that the moon is similar to the other stars. The Vedic literatures inform us that within the universe there is one sun, which is moving. The Western theory that all the luminaries in the sky are different suns is not confirmed in the Vedic literature. Nor can we assume that these luminaries are the suns of other universes, for each universe is covered by various layers of material elements. And therefore, although the universes are clustered together, we cannot see from one universe to another. In other words, whatever we see is within this one universe. In each universe, there is one Brahma, and there are other demigods on other planets, but there is only one sun. So here we're getting into the structure of the universe. Now, this structure of the universe, its importance is not the detail of the construction. The importance is the effect the construction has upon us. As we mentioned here, he's referring to the duties. The suns on one side of the universe, those on the other side are asleep. Right? Where the sun is, that they're performing their duties. And where it's the opposite, they're asleep. Right? So as it moves through all these different places, then it's a matter of someone wakes up, starts his duties, goes the day, the night ends, his duties end, he takes rest. That's the important point. Right? Due to conditioning, we think it's the construction of the universe. But that's why we're here. If we understood it's not about the construction of the universe, it's about why it's constructed like that, what's the effect of its construction, then we can get out. But otherwise, as long as we think it's about the construction, we will stay here. It's that simple. Because the spiritual world is about what's primary. The spiritual world is about love for Krishna. And then all the other elements that are there, the spiritual world, the devotees, everything is all in connection with Krishna. So the secondary elements are only for the satisfaction of Krishna. And so, therefore, if you're at, let's say, out in the fields, then Krishna is, it's a matter of expressing the prema, right? So if he's out in the fields with the cowherd boys, they play. Same cowherd boys, if they're in Mother Jashoda's house, they're a little more reserved, right? You know, you always have to be a little more careful when you're around mom, right? So, like that, you have to behave yourself. You understand? So the whole point is the expression of love to Krishna. That's the real thing that is going on. But the secondary is what creates the variety. Variety is generated through the secondary, so therefore showing all the variety that's going on in the universe. But that variety is only for the primary of serving the Lord. We're in the material world because we only look at secondary. Right? We see the secondary of the spiritual world. We think this is for me to enjoy. So then we end up dealing with the external, because if you're going to deal with secondary, then and think it's for you, then Krishna's going to give you the secondary that doesn't care or dead matter. Because the secondary in the spiritual world does care, because it's all conscious and remembering Krishna, always absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So is this getting somewhere? So here, we'll give an example. Let us say that in the kitchen, we have a very nice kitchen. There's all these different pots, right? There's, let's say, 5 different kinds of frying pans. Each one is some special quality frying pan, unique, okay? Now, we've fried something in this frying pan, and now it is out in the next room where there's some person's eating what came from the frying pan, right? And as they're sitting there, the discussion is this. One eats the potato, says, no, this is cooked in frying pan A. The other one says, no, it's definitely cooked in frying pan B. You can tell by this quality and that quality. And the whole meal goes talking about the frying pan. No one notices the taste or the whole purpose of eating. What would you say about this group of very intelligent connoisseurs? You'd say they're fools. Okay? Now let's just pull back from that. Let's say there's a universe and how it's constructed. What's it for? That we're not discussing. We're discussing, oh, is it this way or that way? The sun's here or there. No, but it's a... You understand? It's the same foolishness. Just because now it comes into an area of our own interest, now it's not foolish. Dogs go out and smell stool. That's what they do for an occupation. That's foolish. But just because they think it's important, does that make it important? Right? You want to tell where the boundary is of your area? You go and smell the stool. Right? You know, governments could learn from this. You know, they could go out and smell where the stool is. Okay, that's another. Is this stool or is this someone else's stool? Right? Is that how we're going to run governments? Is that how we're going to decide where the countries are? No. So this is the whole thing, is Bhagavatam being for the Paramahamsas, it's telling what you're supposed to be doing. Therefore, these different months, when the days are longer, they're shorter, it adjusts the titis, how it works, its effect on our lives. That's the importance, right? The mechanical elements are there, and they're definite, they're explained here. But they're explained even beyond our intelligence, because it's telling how the sun is going counterclockwise, but it appears it's going clockwise. It's going counterclockwise, but the effect is it's clockwise. Right? So how to understand this? So these things, because the construction is the Lord's, therefore it's only by His grace one can understand. And its only purpose is setting time so that we know how to do things. That's what the Jyotish Shastra is for. Astronomy, its purpose is what should I be doing now? Right? It's this time of day, what should I be doing? Or it is Ekadasi, what should I be doing? Or it's Janmashtami, what should I be doing? That's the whole purpose of astronomy, simply to tell this. If we want to argue over the mechanics, what kind of lug nuts are on the car? No, it's about getting from here to the temple. No, but until we've worked out what kind of lug nuts these are, because I think they're mixed, they're not all from the same company, we can't drive to the temple. Is that a reality? No, you can drive easily. You don't even know what makes the car work. There, people wouldn't have a clue why the car works, and they're striving. So what's important, the mechanics of the car or how the car is being used? Right? Police stop you on the road for not driving properly. They don't stop you on the road because they found out that you got a titanium carburetor. Right? You changed your tires, you know, you put on Dunlop instead of Pirelli, so they pull you over, right? Is that what happens, right? You know, if in your America it's not Bridgestone, then you're really in trouble, right? You know, so is that how it works? No, nobody cares. They care what you do with it. So the primary is always the necessity. This is what's being missed. We take something and it's all about this. No. Is it about what you're eating, or is it about if you're offering it to Krishna and thinking of Krishna? Do we think this is by Krishna's grace? Why are we eating it? Just because I like it, or because of the effect it will have on our body, on our service? You know, and then why have a good effect on the body? I mean, what are you going to do with the body? The body is secondary element. The soul is primary. So how will that improve the quality of the soul? Does this make sense? This is an impressive topic. Wherever I discuss this in around the world, you get these very pleasant blank looks. It's a very interesting topic. So the whole idea, Sukadev's giving the mechanics, but the mechanics are in connection to how the humans can use this for their own development. This is not a treatise about mechanically how things are set up. That's there, but that's not its purpose. Its purpose to understand the mood, the attitude, how I should use this, how I should be engaged. That's the actual point of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is whatever mechanics are there just so you know how to use it more properly in the Lord's service. But it's not about the mechanics of it. That's what the other literatures are for. Other literatures, the apara vidya, or the material knowledge that the Veda gives, that's for understanding the technical things. But the real point, what Bhagavatam is special, is it teaches you why it's there. What's the actual ultimate purpose of anything? From that, then we can gain here. So, where'd we go? Yeah. So, Prabhupada's pointing out here is that what we're looking at here is there's one sun and all the luminaries. Right? We can't have the idea is there's a luminary, then the speculation is there, oh, it's another universe. We like, you know, there's this idea there's unlimited. Yes, there is unlimited, but you have to know where is unlimited. Just like the Mayavadis, they think, okay, this is, material has form, it has relations, it has emotions, it has possession, it has activities, right? And so spiritual must be opposite of this, which is true. So the principle is good. But now how they apply it, the detail, is very foolish. Because now they'll say, okay, so spiritual means no form, no individuality, no relationships, no interaction, no emotions, no feelings. Rather than, no, here there's material form, now there's spiritual form. So it's opposite. Here it's temporary, there it's eternal. Here it gives misery, there it gives pleasure. They don't know how to make the opposite. So the kind of unlimited universe is yes, but not within this universe. It's another universe. But of course, no one wants to be restricted. I can't see what I want to, you know, I want to see everything. I want to know everything. Therefore, I should be able to do it. But that's not how it works. You know, you're sitting in one laboratory with a very small telescope. That's all you got. You can't say, no, this is small. I want to see everything. No, you have to go to a bigger one to see that. It's just the way it works. If it's hot out, that has one effect on your experiment. If it's cold out, it has a different effect. Like that, you know, reindeer, very peaceful in the you know, when it's cold. When it gets hot, they go nuts, right? Because they're designed for cold. So when it gets hot, they actually run around the cities, you know, going nuts. So these kind of things, they have their effect. They show. So someone can say whatever they want, but one doesn't have to take that seriously. The Shastric example is madmen say so many things, right? You know, I'm not sure what the contemporary how you say example is, but when I was a kid, then the goof was is the crazy guy is saying he's Napoleon Bonaparte. Right, you know, so that was I'm not sure what it is now, you know, so like maybe you're Lady Gaga or something, you know, so I don't know what it is, but it's, you know, it's always something that you're not, right? So then the idea is that just because they're thinking doesn't mean that what you put together is real. So we always have to be very careful. So Prabhupada is just pointing out facts here. Facts are, this is the way it is. Now, the reason they're like this is so that we can be engaged in our duties, and through those duties, serve the Lord. And by that, go back to Godhead. That's the real point. So the facts are this. We don't get worried about that. We worry about what will you do with the facts. Like that. That's the whole point. Any questions or comments on this? Yes. Is there a funny little microphone or? We have a funny little microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for your mechanical explanation. This nice analysis of the mechanics of life, where we are accustomed from childhood also to do things imposed by our parents, because we
things
want
imposed by
the parents.
Imposed by the parents.
Yes, like going to eat. We want to play.
Yes. Okay.
And then the mechanics work because we know that the body needs not all day playing, but also food and all that. So these other mechanics of life, which come into spiritual life, like bhakti sadhana, will lead to eventually raganuga sadhana, without leaving aside the daily mechanics, meaning the daily activities one had to perform. But the question is, if you could please elaborate, while chanting the holy name, we are taking it also mechanically, because it requires, at least talking from my own perception, I don't have any taste, but at the same time, I obey the instructions of mechanically, meaning daily chanting. But in this way of not analyzing the mechanics, what is the state of consciousness that I have to have when chanting the holy names? If I do believe that this, I am in the presence of the Lord, because my mind will bring me to the duties, even devotionally, of my daily activities, you know, I need to figure out what my service is and all that. But ultimately, it's also Bhaumalila. So we find these other instructions in the Shastra, but not necessarily in our line, like meditation in the pastimes of the Lord, although Prabhupada also asked.
Okay, yes. Okay. Could you all hear? It was a little low, the mic. It's not quite. Basically, the question is because we're making a distinction here between the primary and secondary. And so then the question comes up, if it's not about analyzing the secondary, then in the chanting, what is actually the whole purpose? What is the method? What is, because different people have different, have explained different, how you say, aspects of the chanting process. You know, are we hearing? Are we meditating on the pastimes? Are, you know, all these different things. So just something on the primary and secondary. You can't separate the primary and secondary. They have to be understood. They're distinct entities, but interdependent, right? Is that the, it's just like, you have a generator, right? It's the primary element. The secondary is it produces electricity. But now, the point is why is it called a generator? Because it produces electricity. And electricity is only present because there's a generator. Right? So you have the Lord and you have his creation. They're non-different, but at the same time they're different. But we have to understand is it's the Lord that's the primary element, not the creation. Right? As conditioned living entities, we take the creation as the primary. And the Lord, we replace the Lord with ourselves. So we could say in this way, ourself is the primary and everything else is the secondary. But we get distracted because we leave the Lord out of it. So it's not that we don't analyze the secondary, but we analyze the secondary according to how the acharyas recommend that analyzation. Right? Because otherwise, we want to deal with unlimited, then there's unlimited universes outside this universe. Not that there's, we try to find unlimited within the sphere of my perception. That's what I'm saying, is that the actual scholar understands that there's things that are beyond, if you're dealing with unlimited, it's beyond the scope of the mundane intelligence because of the nature of being mundane. It doesn't have full capacity. But the soul, even though they're infinitesimal, being part and parcel of the Lord and being of the transcendental nature, if they're connected with the Supreme favorably, then that element of unlimited can be appreciated or tasted. Because ultimately it's about the taste of these qualities, not the qualities themselves. Just like we have an interest in knowledge. We analyze that knowledge. We absorb that knowledge. But there comes a point where that knowledge is tasted. You know what I'm saying? Krishna is tattva, so we're analyzing tattva now so we understand the difference between ourselves as God and Krishna as God. And the material world as a place for my enjoyment or as material world as a place for serving the Lord. Therefore, the analyzation is important. But after that, then the analyzation goes to the point of, I mean, then it gets to the point of being able to taste that knowledge of service of Krishna. Right? So within the conditioned state, we're analyzing and absorbing or, you know, realizing. But within the transcendental state, we're tasting. Right? Like Prabhupada said, so when devotee, I was saying about going to Radhakund, Prabhupada said, what will you do there? And he says, well, I'll study Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada said, no, Radhakund's for tasting. You know, in other words, the reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita is not a matter of study to analyze, it's a matter of tasting the rasa that's going there, right? So this whole element of the primary and secondary, one is with that, but you have to always see is that the secondary's value is the primary element, its connection to the primary, right? And so then that's what we're looking for, right? So now in chanting, because the primary element is actually love for Krishna, the secondary element is that I'm using chanting to express that. I could use chanting, I could use deity worship, I could use hearing Bhagavatam, I could use associating with devotees, serving the Dham. I can use so many different things. You know, like Mother Jashoda is cooking for Krishna. That secondary element is because of her primary love for Krishna. So in the spiritual world, you don't really make a distinction between primary and secondary. We only make the distinction here because we always choose secondary. So that's why we have to point it out, right? So in here then, it's explained is that because there's a non-difference with the Lord in his name, whatever the aspect, if you're in connection with him, that's perfection. That's the actual point, is to be connected. So in the neophyte stage, the difficulty is that we have so many things, or when the bhajan is anishta, then the tendency is to be distracted by things, these secondary elements. You know, distracted by, you know, position, wealth, power, fame, family, attachments, relations, you know, body, all these different things. And because of that, we're not hearing. Right? So when we take it that, oh, hearing's the beginning stage, so, you know, I want to be more advanced, therefore I want to remember the past times, right? But actually, technically, if you look at it, the ability to just hear, that comes at nishta, because there's no anartas to distract, because you're steady in chanting. So then that means if you're chanting, hearing and chanting, right? So you chant, you hear. So you're steady in that at nishta. Then when you get a taste, right, ruchi, then naturally comes the form, because Krishna's form is what is causing the bliss and the taste. We tend to think Krishna and his body are separate. No, it's his body that makes all that beauty and taste and attraction and everything. All the qualities come from his body, but you have to see the body first. The qualities come from the body, so first is the body. Right? And so the name is there, so who has that name? There's a body, that's Krishna. That body has qualities. And then those qualities are expressed in exchange of the devotees as pastimes. So it's not a matter of you have to sit down and remember those pastimes and try to chant. It's a matter of if you're absorbed in the chanting, whatever is your position of realization according to nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, a prema, then that's what's going to manifest. Just like if I say someone that you know and is a friend, when I say their name, you think of the pastimes. Now let's say it's a person you don't know. I say the name, it's only a name. Or I say a name of someone you've seen, but you haven't met, you know? So then I say the name, it means a form. You understand? So that's the thing. So there's no artificial. Now, if by trying to remember the pastimes, it focuses you on the name as opposed to, you know, thinking about if you turned on the washing machine or not, then that's fine. But it shouldn't be touted as this is the process. You know, it's not the process. You know, it's according to, what does the baby do? What's the occupation of a baby? Right? Eat, sleep, play. I leave anything out? Cry, okay. You know, okay. Now, should we be talking about how, you know, hey, come on, suck it up, kid. You know, you got to get it together. And, you know, it's like you got to get out there and do something, make it, you know, make your place in the world. And all. No, that's not going to work. You just think they just play. Then when they get a little bigger, they start to study. Now they'd like to keep playing, but they do have to study. And then when they get older again, they have to apply what they've studied. Right? So it's a natural progression. So in other words, name, form, qualities, pastimes is a natural progression that will just be there when you're going through these stages of devotional development. But the point is to be focused on the name, because it's Krishna. You want to be focused on Krishna. So that's what you want to do. So whatever will get that, yes, but there will be the natural elements, the natural stages. Does that make sense? So you're trying to hear, and if thinking of Krishna's qualities, thinking of his form, thinking of his pastimes, thinking of the Dham, thinking of the devotees will help, great. But it's not that, oh, if I think of the pastimes, I'm actually on a higher level. No, you're on the level you're at. It's not that if I imagine a fabulous preparation when I'm cooking, it makes me a better cook. I'm as good as I know. But if that will encourage me to focus and apply myself better, great. But it's not because I can think of a really nice preparation that I'm now a good cook. That's the whole thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so this whole, people come up with a secondary. See, in other words, what we do is we take a primary element of hearing and chanting. We focus on the secondary aspect of it, forget the primary. That's remembering Krishna and prema. And then we argue over that secondary, and then who's more advanced, who's this, but no. What the acharyas say, that's what we do. So they always start from hearing and chanting. So we start there. Now, if we can add in other things, great. And how long do we remember the pastimes for, right? We remember them for, there's this pastime, there's that, and Krishna did this, and he said this to Radharani and that, and oh yeah, did I turn off the gas? And then there's, you know what I'm saying? That was 3 seconds. But in my mind, I did a lot. Why? Because I do nothing. So 3 seconds compared to nothing is good. Though we shouldn't think because I did 3 seconds, now I'm superior to anybody else.
Can you kindly elaborate on the reasons of that interruption?
The reason for interruption. That's just we're used to. The simplest element is just that we are habituated to looking at the material secondary elements. That's what our practice has been since time immemorial. So that's what we're always going to do. So that's why it's called sadhana, because now we're trying to transform that position of natural love for Krishna is transferred into lust. We're trying to control that, regulate it, and bring it back to Krishna by connecting whatever it is to Krishna. Right? We're lusty, we like to do something, so we connect that aspect to Krishna. And then slowly, so it's not about that, how I connected it, that's the acharyas recommend. But it's not that I've done that, it's that by connecting it, you remember the Lord. That's the real thing. The residents of the spiritual world, they always remember the Lord. So that's what we see in the chanting process. We Smaradasa, then we hear about this chanting and the process and about Krishna and our relationship. Then Varnadasa, we start to adjust with that, try to apply ourselves. That I'm a devotee, I'm not a materialist. So as a devotee, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, how I make my choices. But then we come to the point of Smarana Dasa, where then we are absorbed in the Lord. But in the beginning, because 5 stages, 5 means occasionally we think about Krishna and then we forget. Then a little bit more we remember and then we forget. Then basically remembering and then we forget. Then actually focused on Krishna. Then when it becomes deep, that's called samadhi. At that time, then one comes to the platform, one can understand the spiritual world.
Regarding forgetfulness.
Forgetfulness.
Sometimes can be lifetimes eventually.
Yes, forgetfulness. We're here since time immemorial, so that's a long time of forgetting, right? So here is that. So that's why technically we're not supposed to be critical of the devotees, because that they're connected to Krishna. That's special. That's actually their bhagya jiva. They're fortunate jivas. They're fortunate souls because they've come in contact again with Krishna, and they're making that effort. So even when forgets, then after some time one will remember. The natural thing is if you're involved, that's why it's like this. If we're forgetting Krishna, that's the primary aspect. That's what we're accustomed to do, right? We're practiced at forgetting Krishna. But we're accustomed to being engaged in activities that give results, and we have identities and all that, these secondary aspects. So that's why the acharyas recommend certain processes. Because those secondary aspects will remind you of Krishna. Other secondary aspects won't. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. Let us just For example, let us say I am wearing a dhoti and I'm walking down the street and I'm looking in the shop windows and I'm forgetting about I'm a devotee. I'm thinking about this and yeah, I could use that and I could do this and that. But it's as I continue down the street, I notice people look at me differently. I remember I'm a devotee. Even though it's secondary and it technically doesn't matter, it helps me remember the primary. Well, now if I'm walking down the street not in devotional clothes, no one's going to, what's going to trigger that? There's nothing to trigger except for me remembering myself. But the point is since I'm engaged in secondary activities, why not connect the secondary activities that are the recommendation that these are helpful in supporting the primary, though they themselves are not the primary? That's the whole difficulty is with this primary and secondary is if it's not primary, it's useless. No. Or, oh, it's we don't want fanatics, so it's all about the secondary. No, you have to have both. The primary is expressed through the secondary, and the secondary is a support to the primary. So that's why the acharyas recommend certain activities, certain foods, certain dress, certain cultures, certain interactions, etiquettes, situations. Like it's recommended we live in the Dham. Because we're living in the Dham, then there's more things to remind you, right? You know, we look, we see the samadhi. There's more chance we're going to remember Krishna than if we look up and see the Chrysler building, right? Chrysler building may not remind us of Krishna. But these other things do. You understand? So that's why the secondary aspects are there. That's why the sahajiyas are in a weak position, because they say, oh, we don't need these secondary aspects. It's just bhav. But the point is if you're not purified, your bhav isn't going to... They're still doing secondary aspects, but they can't realize that they're still doing that. Yes.
Since time immemorial, the jiva is conditioned, therefore the tendency is prakriti sahaja, actually. Natural.
Naturally too?
Living in the in material
yes,
environment.
Yes, yes. So that's the habit.
Correct. So, but not everyone can come and live in the Dham. So
no.
There are excuses.
But their house, they're going to live somewhere. So you put some pictures on the wall of Krishna, you make an altar, you try to arrange your kitchen that it's good for Krishna, you know, that you have a little pot of water next to the toilet. It reminds you that you're a devotee. You know, I'm saying little things like this, they have their effect. You can say, ah, oh, we don't care about it. But yeah, but we don't care about what? We don't care about things to help us remember we're devotees? Because until you get to the point where you're liberated, then these things help. Once you're liberated, don't worry about it. Yes, that's fine. But liberated means, we mean the fact of being liberated. We don't mean that, oh, we're devotees, we're transcendental, that kind of stuff. We mean actually on the liberated platform. You understand who you are in the spiritual world. You know what your form is. That's called Surup Siddhi. That's called, then you don't have to worry about it.
Is still, the shastras imply that we should follow by this sadhana process?
They recommend. Otherwise, why did Lord Chaitanya speak about these things to Rupa and Sanatana, and why did they document it? And why do we take these as important? If it wasn't important, why would Lord Chaitanya waste his time? Right? You know, the biggest conversation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is with Sanatana Goswami on Sambandha. So the Sambandha Gyan is the biggest of all the five discussions. Sarvabhauma, Prakashananda, Rupa Goswami, and Ramananda Rai. The biggest is with Sanatana. Because if you understand who you are, then you can apply all these other aspects. You know, getting rid of the Mayavad concept with Prakashananda, Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, these are smaller because the Mayavadis aren't as smart as they claim to be. So it's not that difficult of a philosophy to deal with. Right? And then the element of Prayojana, then it's there, but when you're on the platform, it makes the most sense, but you have to discuss it enough to understand. Therefore, we start with Varnashram. No, that's a secondary aspect, to be engaged in the Lord's service. And then you keep going until you get to you know, Radharani and Mahabhav, then and Madanayaka and Mahabhav, then you know, okay, this is the top. So we have a perspective. But then, so that means the real conversations for us are Rupa and Sanatana. Is this is who I am with Sanatana Goswami, and this is what I should do with Rupa Goswami. Right? And this is the mentality. So that's the real thing. So that's why it's there. That's why Lord Chaitanya made the effort. That's why the Acharyas made the effort. That's why all the Acharyas after the Goswamis, and they simply, all they did was write and comment on what they said, bring out various aspects, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath, Narottam, and his songs. That's all they've done. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, then you're bringing it into the context of modern society. Right? Because before, you had technically modern, but being Asian, it was similar. Right? So the concepts and all these different things of guru and scriptures and regulation and all that are there in whatever the group. But once you get into modern, then there's an idea, there's just me and I do whatever I want. Or at least I do whatever I can get away with. That would be more, I can say I do what I want, but it's what I can get away with. Because I can't just do what I want. So then that you're bringing out another thing where these concepts of duty and what's primary, what's second, all these things are just lost. You know, there's no contact with the actual facts. So therefore, facts just become pratyaksha. Well, these other ones, then generally there's a concept of theistic, moralism. That I'm following a moralistic path that has a connection with the Lord. So you see, is that all those elements are there. But the modernists, no, it's just, the only reason to cooperate is better sense gratification. It's, you know, God exists, great, but if he doesn't exist, it doesn't matter. Pranamoy, yes, pranamoy. Pranamoy is what you call, in the present day, developed civilization. But their goal is simply anamoy, just sense gratification. But it's only when you are adjusting your life because of rules that are based connected with God, then that's theistic moralism. So you have that in the world religions. But how many follow it like that? Yeah, some priests, the common person, if he feels very religious, now and again he makes some adjustment. Right? But again, it's the secondary elements remind him. A church looks different than other buildings, therefore you remember God. You know, you see a priest, he looks different than everybody else, you remember God. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you wear the cross around your neck so that you can remember. Like that, you know? Does that make sense? So there's always something that reminds you. That's the whole it's standard stuff. This is what the Acharyas give. But the difficulty comes is that how many practice it? Right? You know, it's just like what Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatana Goswami. Out of unlimited living entities in the universe, few are human. Of the few that are human, very few are, out of so many who are human, very few are actually civilized. It means they actually are theistic moralists. That's civilization. Civilization starts with theistic morality. If it's atheistic morality, or quasi-theistic morality, it's not actually human, it's just sophisticated animals. So modern society is basically sophisticated animals. It's a secular society, they can't complain, you know, because before it was based on religion, but now it's not. You know what I'm saying? So no one can complain. That's the way they define it. They want to separate church and state, church and education, church and everything. It's just a private thing for an individual. So how can anyone complain that what we're saying? It's because that's not the drive. So theistic morality is the beginning of human life, because then there's a concept, there's God, there's myself, I have duties. What should I be doing? Who am I? Human life starts there. right? So the Vedic has the most developed theistic morality with Varnashram. Well, the other ones, then they're not very scientific. Does this make sense? Yeah. How we do it? Okay. You had something. You and, yeah. Okay. Here's this little thingamajig. No, this side. Right. Back. That's, yeah.
How can the planetary system
How does the planetary system affect the character of the living entity? Okay. Don't we see that here? I mean, here, we're in Bengal, okay? It's very wet, okay? Rice grows easily. What do the people eat? That's not a trick question. What do people in Bengal eat? Rice, okay, good answer.
Thank you.
I think we stumped our man here, okay. So they develop a particular physique, particular mentality, right? Now you go to the other side of India, you have Punjab. They also grow rice, but they don't eat it. You know, who eats rice? You eat chapati, you eat wheat, you know, that makes you strong. Rice is for when you're sick, right? White rice, you only eat that if you're sick in Punjab. Yeah, big guys, huge. So, you know, people in mountains, you don't notice their mentality is different than the plains? Or let's say we go down to Sundarbans, where everything's water. People are different. You go to south, you go to each state, people are different because the weather is different, the earth is different, what they eat is different. So if those little minor changes make so much difference, why wouldn't the planets make difference? You understand? If you're on Bhumandala, there is one mentality. You're in Antariksha, it's another mentality. You're in Swarga, it's another mentality. So that's why all those 14 planetary systems are there. It's for all the different mentalities. Like of those who are not so, specifically you could say, not attached to the whole social scene, that's all what called Satyaloka, so Maharjana Tapan Satya. But within that, you have those of the Prajapatis, so it's just a matter of duty that they do the things, take care of the universe, expand the population. There are those who are into meditation, there are those who are into discussing philosophy, and then there are those on Brahmaloka. So that's four different mentalities within those who are not really interested in just the regular social scene. Indra's got 22 heavenly planets up there. So all the different, exactly what you're into. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. You see, it's different. You go to Orlando, you get one experience. You know, you go to, you know, the one in California, you get another experience. You go to the one in Paris, it's different than that. It's all the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see Mickey Mouse in all of them, but there's going to be a different feeling. You understand? So all these things are made because you have 8,400,000 species of life. So what are all the different mentalities? What are all the varieties you could get within that? Therefore, then, when the creation, that's why it describes in the creation, that you have the 14 planetary systems that have these three major divisions. Then you have mountains, you have plains. You know, you have the oceans, rivers, lakes. Does that make sense? You have places that are hot, that are cold. That's why it talks about at the equator, it's like this. If you go north or south of the equator, it changes the effect. Does that make sense? So everything has an effect. You know, you walk out of your house into the nice countryside in the morning. You know, then like that, and you breathe in the air, you go fresh. You know, you walk out of your apartment on the Upper East Side and that, and you never say fresh. You just don't. Okay, if it's freezing cold out, yeah, then you might say fresh. But that's because the air's cold, not because it's clean. Does that make sense? Yeah, so everything has an effect. You know, you sit there at the back. There's a different effect than sitting at the front. right? You know what I'm saying? So that's everything has an effect. That's why, but the effects are there because there's a primary, there's Krishna. So we're trying to adjust our life that all the secondaries remind us of Krishna. You understand? So one of the ways is the astrological. Right? The Vedas give 14 different ways that you can remember the Lord. You know, from the different shastras. So astronomy is one of them. Grammar is another. Rituals is another. Right? Does that make sense? Vocabulary, kavya, all this is another. Does that make sense? Someone else's logic, someone else's histories, someone else's arts. So all these things in the universe, all of them, they have an effect. And they all can remind you of Krishna because they all come from Krishna. But you have to know how to connect. Otherwise, then you'll lose it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. So, end here. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki. Jai Nitai Gaurav.